on this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Some big or really small news about Facebook referral traffic.
I owe you all an apology because AI overviews are launching in its current state thanks to the information we got at Google I/O.
And Google is untangling web results with a new filter in search.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhill.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on May 17th, 2024.
And before we get into all of the digital marketing news this week, there is one thing that surpassed, I guess, anything that happened in my life. And that was... It's marketing adjacent, but the Google I/O opener, Mark Rebulet.
So I've never heard of him before.
Luke Daddy,
me either. I had to
Google
him. I
would follow him anywhere.
When he came out, and I literally think he slipped into that. I do not think he meant to do that. And
I
he
thought
fell back
so
in
the first time, but when we just rewatched it, there's no way that was planned.
It brought so much joy to my heart when he called those Google guys silly little nerds.
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, rappy, bloop, beep, bloop, bop. Time to get up, you silly little nerds. Wake up.
I know. There could not be an audience less into that. Everybody's just like holding their phone up and he's like, beep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
You silly little nerds.
It's like amazing.
And was the one robe he was wearing different than the robe underneath?
No, it was the same
slightly
robe.
Bigger. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. That's so funny.
When he slipped back into that coffee cup, I was really worried about what was going on underneath the robe for a second.
Yeah, he's a big robe guy.
The legs did just like go like that. It was kind of amazing.
It was so entertaining.
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it got like pretty mixed reviews, but...
Oh, please.
Sorry, I'm sorry people are trying to have fun.
What else
what do you want me to do?
It's like the reviews of this show. People are like, oh, they're having too much fun. It's like, I'm sorry.
Oh, they're too beautiful.
I do. It's new. One people of us are like, oh, they're having too much fun. I want just SEO news.
Why do you want to be so boring?
Find a different show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get into the full Google I/O recap, we want to thank Wix Studio for sponsoring today's episode, which, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know is the website building platform built for agencies and enterprises. Their management tools power your agency's productivity by helping you manage all of your sites from one place, work in sync, reuse assets, and run your agency on the move. And this includes some amazing tools that help you save time on client back and forth. So they have a client kit that lets you, when you build a site for your client, when you hand it off to them, you can upload resources like videos on how to use your site, like tutorials and stuff, which I think is really awesome.
That is so helpful. Mm-hmm. You can tell that they actually care about their product.
Yeah. So guides, tutorials, all just for your client that you can make specifically for them. Also, automated reports for clients on site performance that you can send out regularly. And there's an option when editing the site, your clients can switch to content mode where they can update the content, but everything else is like locked in. So they can't make any accidental design changes, which is great. That's for fantastic. Peace of mind.
How could you recommend anything other than Wix Studio?
I got to be honest, I can't.
They've thought of everything.
Yes. Wix Studio is the best solution for agencies looking to build websites at scale. So don't just take our word for it. Check it out for yourself at wix.com/studio. Okay, let's talk about Google I/O.
This week was announcement week. So Google I/O was planned for the 14th of May. And conveniently, and I think I called it on It's New, which we'll hear about in a little bit. I called it a petty off that happened because I/O was scheduled for the 14th. And then ChatGPT had an announcement, or OpenAI had an announcement, and they scheduled for the 13th.
Who scheduled first? We don't know.
Google. So ChatGPT put this event on the 13th. And then Google, I think it was like an hour before ChatGPT's event, put out a tweet that showed the same technology that ChatGPT was about to release. And they showed, again, like backstage, behind the scenes at Google I.O. And they're using their Gemini product to explain what was happening. And that's what ChatGPT was about to announce.
The AI wars are just exhausting.
They're exhausting, but they're also over because ChatGPT 4.40 absolutely dominates what Google had previewed. It's not even close. The war is not a war. It's the Celtics playing the 76ers. It's not a match.
Totally.
Yeah. But that tweet came out and whatever. And so we'll start just, I guess, with GPT 4.0, not 4.0. I keep saying that. We watched some of the videos. I would first like to say that technology is really well done. Really well done. I've never heard better like human voice work than GPT. And you can basically take a picture of anything or show your screen of anything and ChatGPT will try to explain it. And in the keynote, they did a live demo of the product. And one of the people, and you know it's a live demo because I feel like what we see a lot is in one of the last Google releases, they said it was doctored and everybody showed how it was doctored. This man was saying, what is my emotion right now? And GPT said, you look like a wooden board. And it was a picture of the table that he had shown before. And he's like, oh, sorry, that's the picture from before. Take a look at me now. And GPT is like, oh, that's pretty silly. I understand. Right now, they messed up, but the thing hit it on the fly. It was incredible.
Wow.
I think this technology is phenomenal. It's also maybe the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, scariest. Like, what's the end? Yeah. People are going to date this thing.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Okay,
so the minute this is Her, the movie.
Yeah.
There are going to be people that just sit home and talk to this thing all the time. And then Julie Baccini on LinkedIn is like, I think this is good technology, but why is this thing flirting with this guy?
That's what I was saying. And it's all men. I don't know if it was all men that designed it, but in the videos I saw, it was all men talking to it. I'm just like, did you just make this because you don't have a girlfriend? Like, it's like really, she's hitting on them.
She's in love with the puppy too.
Her voice, okay, to be
we'll
honest.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
it's very real. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. So,
but like, what's the point?
So Julie Baccini put it up on LinkedIn and there are people disagreeing that this thing isn't hitting. It's like, this thing.
Hi.
That was spot on.
That was good. What are you doing?
That was 100% in.
I see you're rocking an open AI hoodie. Nice choice.
And to be fair, apparently there's the same thing going on with the male voice.
Oh, thank goodness.
Or whomever, whatever you're into. Like that, where it's like flirtatious.
I would prefer like a British nanny.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was an example of like, a person holding the phone with this GPT 4.0 technology, showing it his dog.
His dog.
And the thing is like doing a great job, but it's like, dude, why are you showing your dog to a machine?
It literally is just for the social interaction. It has to be, right? Like you already own the dog. It's your dog. Unless you want to order more of the balls in its mouth. Like what else are you going to do with that? It's purely for the, I know they're showing things off.
Yeah.
But.
So I think it could be obviously helpful to be like, I'm here. Where do I need to go? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, this is what's hanging off the bottom of my car. How do I explain it to an auto mechanic or something? There are like use cases for it. But so much of it, like the guy's like, what do you think I'm about to do now? And the thing is like, oh, it looks like you have a microphone and lights. Maybe you're making an announcement. And he's like, oh, it's about you. And she's like, oh, it's about me? Oh.
The announcement is about me? Well, color me intrigued.
Color me intrigued or whatever.
Yes, yes. So weird.
I don't know. Again, very impressive technology. I can only think of it for like one use case, half the examples they showed though.
Or like customer service. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't even want that. Yeah. I don't want to talk to a machine that's like, oh, I'm so sorry you're on hold for so long. It's like, you don't have a soul. I don't care what you think. You know?
Yeah. Am I crazy? I'd love to hear her tone if you said that, if she would like change. Like, you, sir, do not have a soul.
She'd be like, oh, I have a soul. Come over here, I'll show you.
And it's on fire for you. It's so creepy.
I think okay. You've been replaced. You're really good at this. Yeah. Oh.
But no, so I think the only thing this could actually be like helpful for, and this is actually pretty sad, is like old people. Isn't that sad?
Heartbreaking, yeah.
But like if some of your friends have passed on, you don't have as much to do, like I could see that being helpful.
That's a nice companion.
As not an animal person, I kind of thought the same thing was a dog with the dog. Like if you had to like leave your dog home alone all day and go to work.
Yeah,
and then they like could just make him think someone's there. I don't know.
Oh, you're thinking about the dog. That's nice.
But I didn't know if that was like dog people would be mad at me for saying
that's a great idea too, though. You're like, hey, you little rover. Like, yeah. Looking good.
That thing where you can like throw treats at your dog when you're not home, yeah. If it yeah. could have a voice and engage that, Shep, you're so thoughtful for the animals.
I thought it'd be canceled, so.
Okay, so then Google I.O. came out and they, first of all, thoughts and prayers for anybody that was playing the drinking game about AI.
Oh, Lord.
You won. You have passed. You have passed on. You have passed on from this world. Because there was a clip, TechCrunch put a clip out. It's like, here's everything you need to know about Google I.O. in 1 minute. And it was a full minute of AI.
Just saying AI.
It's like, this AI. It's just all these different speakers. It's all AI. So you are dead officially if you're drinking every time they said AI. But a few of the things that were announced is a Gemini Flash version that would compete, basically the same thing as what we talked about with GPT 4.0, but it's really disjointed. It's nowhere near what OpenAI put out. You can also ask, it's called Ask Photos Assistant. It's kind of cool. If you use Google Photos, you can say, ask it and say, what is my license plate? Hmm. And it'll go through your photos and try to figure it out. So I think that's kind of cool. If you're like, what is my room, like, flight number, or what's my driver's license ID if you've ever taken a picture of or something. There's also, I think it's kind of creepy, but some AI powered experiences for Android. There's a scam detection feature where the whole time AI is listening to every conversation that you have. And if it thinks it's a scam, it will let you know. But like, that's great for like grandparents.
Might be nice, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also a flagship Gemini AI model that will blend personal information like flights, hotel bookings, and build itineraries for you in no time. And then they had a AI creation video tool, Veo. It looks really cool. It's similar to Sora or whatever OpenAI put out there. But with all the Google demos, like that OpenAI demo was real because it messed up and they fixed, and it was a amazing mess up. Like that mess up probably made them lots of money. Google, we know they kind of like cook some of the stuff that they show, so you can't really like tell if that's real or not, but the stuff they had looked pretty cool. Okay, and on to the big news from the search marketing side of things. AI Overviews is officially rolling out of labs, and it's starting with US-based searchers, and it's going to make AI overviews available to hundreds of millions of searchers by next week. Liz Reed, the company's new head of search, and Barry Schwartz has great articles over Search Engine Land and Search Engine Roundtable. Liz said it's going to launch in more countries soon and be available to more than a billion users by the end of the year. And if you haven't seen the videos of it yet, it is a pretty aggressive placement in the search engine results pages. Y'all saw it. What did you think?
I mean, they said it at the end, but while I was watching it, I was thinking Google is Googling for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just right there in your face. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if I watched that one.
I mean, we'll get into some of the features of it, but it is no longer SGE. Search Generative Experiences, AI Overviews, which is wild because just a few weeks ago, they changed it to AI Answers. Mm. And apparently that didn't stick. So they went back to AI Overviews. And Hima Bujaru, the senior director of product at the Search Generative Experience, said that the link cards within AI Overviews generate a higher click-through rate than traditional web search results. I think that is wildly inaccurate. Personally, those click cards are so pointless because there's no context to what those cards, what portion of the information the cards are. I talked about it quite a bit on It's New this week, but there's not like citations. And if you see something and it's like, oh, the Brooks Adrenaline 24 is the best running shoe, you just get three options of like running shoe reviews at the bottom. And now I have to go do work to figure out who is saying this, which one of these websites is saying the thing on there. And to me, I personally hate it. I never click on those. I just do not like the experience at all, because you have to do more work with AI overviews. And I don't think anybody at Google understands that. The whole point is to make people do less work. All you got to do is say, the Brooks Adrenaline is a great pick, number one. Another one is the Saucony 99 or something, two. And just let me click on the one and two and read the review. I don't want to have to click through three different things to figure out who liked the Brooks Adrenaline the most. It doesn't seem that hard, but you go back to it and you're like, well, you know what? They're probably trying to keep people on Google. That's the only thing I can think about. But then they're like, oh, more people click on it. No, I do not believe that. Or maybe they looked at like a certain hour in one day. Do you remember when we had that Google ads where like PMAX drove more conversions at roughly the same cost, and it was a 1 day period?
Yep.
It's like, I wonder why you picked that one day. I think it was like a leap day too. It was like February 29th. And it's like, oh, I wonder why you picked that day, because the data finally matched what you wanted it to be for like 1 second. Mm-hmm. So I would also like to say Barry did a great job on pushing on this. And if you read the Search Engine Land article, you'll kind of see his frustration come through. Additionally, AI overview impressions will be in Search Console, and you'll see impressions and clicks in Search Console. However, you won't be able to distinguish those created by traditional search and AI overview. So if you get an impression, it means that little card shows up. Mm-hmm. It will count as impression in Search Console, but you can't see what is from an AI overview or what is from a traditional link on the SERPs.
I'd like to know that.
Barry asked a great question in his article. He said, to me, this makes me feel Google and Bing are hiding somewhat from content creators, that the clicks and CTR from these AI-powered answers may not generate a healthy click-through rate to publishers. I mean, why else wouldn't they show those details?
Yep.
If you're giving people more, you would show them that.
Right.
Okay. Also, with these AI overviews, it's going to be for limited queries. You won't see AI overviews for all your searches. They are allegedly for more complex answers out there. So if Google feels it can add value to the SERPs, it will then use an AI overview. But if not, an AI overview may not be there. So Barry also asked, what percentage of queries will generate an AI overview? He asked numerous times, according to him. And I believe, and he is an honest man. And he was told, we won't share those figures.
Why? Because they must not make them look good.
It's going to, you're going to get depressed. So leading up to this last week, BrightEdge came out with a study that showed that Google search results without SGE jumped up to 65% without those AI overviews. And before, only 25% of them didn't have an AI overview. I'm not sure exactly why that's the case, but obviously that number is going to be reversed.
Wait, that's without.
Right. Without. So Google stopped showing it.
Got it.
And my guess might be like they were doing all this testing and stuff. And they got what they're looking for. They're trying to bring it back to Google and then like make a splash and be like, it's coming, right? Even though it was kind of here. All right. So here's where you got to buckle up, Shen. You okay?
I'm scared.
All right. Famous words of Danny Sullivan. I mean, buckle up.
Taylor Swift just released her most depressing album. So not great.
Like a new one?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Mm. I was there.
So Barry asked if we could see AI overviews only when ads are not displayed, and was told that was not the case. The types of queries AI overviews will show have less to do with ads and more to do with adding value to the search results. And according to Google, As always, ads will continue to appear in dedicated slots throughout the page with clear labeling to distinguish between organic and sponsored results. I don't think the ads format is even considered currently with AI overviews or whatever they're called now.
Yeah.
The only thing I ever see that looks decent and it doesn't ever match the answer is shopping. Mm-hmm. But you, like I said, I look for running shoes and I say, get the Brooks Adrenaline. And then you'll see ads for anything but the Brooks Adrenaline. It's like, how is this a good experience?
Because, and it wouldn't be like search ads, right?
Well, this seems like it's going to be at the top.
Okay.
Which may mean less clicks for you.
Oh.
And so, and like,
you'll have dedicated slots though. They'll continue.
Would imagine it's less slots.
But though. Why would they do that to themselves?
So that's a great question. I already pondered. They are going to make money. They're not going to put something out that makes them right. less revenue. If I were an evil genius, I would think of a way to not have caps on bids, right? So you could bid infinitely for a keyword.
Yeah.
And if my inventory went down because I've got these AI overviews on the page, that inventory, I still have to get the same amount of money. That inventory might cost more.
Yep.
So if I had a crystal ball, which I do, it's called my brain, CPCs are going to go up.
Yeah.
That's why they have smart bidding. That's why they have PMAX. That's why they have it all. PMAX can just go and spend $55 on a click about sink accessories. That's mm-hmm. what I saw yesterday. We'll never even make $55 on that. I don't know what you're doing, but you have to use it. So I don't like the fact that the overviews are going to be above, seemingly for now, ads, because the only thing I can think is they need the revenue. CPCs are going up. Mm-hmm. Can you poke holes in that?
I can't. I think they probably are going to go up.
Yep. Sad day. It's a bad day.
Don't like it.
And Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on Twitter. I'm going back to Twitter. I can't do the X thing.
Thank you.
Glenn Gabe said, just seen at Google headquarters, new hire tasked with watching Google ad revenue as AI overviews roll out. Watch how fast AI overviews drop out of certain SERPs if the ad revenue drops. Why on earth would you show an AI overview for CRM software if you could show an ad that makes $80? Mm-hmm. So that's like the only hope. Is like,
unless you can like click through and show ads on another page.
I don't know. I mean, if we're going after more complex queries, I feel like CRM software is not a complex
and
query.
It might be. Yeah.
Like I'm not solving a problem.
Or if it's more long-term thing, like long tail things mm-hmm. that people aren't bidding on as much.
Yeah. I don't know.
One other thing that you can do with these AI overviews now is you can say, it'll give you an overview and you can say expand upon it or shorten it. So if you're like, what's the fastest way to Paris? You can just shorten it and be like, here's the fastest way, or you could be like the longest way. So mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of cool. Again, still, I just want links to be able to see where you're getting this information because you're a machine and you took it from a human in all likelihood. Okay. And then you cannot opt out of AI overviews. Well, you can actually. And so there were some people talking about doing this on the internet and my mind was blown. So if you want to opt out of AI overviews, you have to opt out of Google search completely.
Oh. So
if you don't want to be on AI overviews, you got to be out of Google. So you can use robots.txt, meta tag controls, other stuff like that.
Great option.
If you hear anybody talking about this stuff, and if you should run as fast as you can. And if you have an agency and they're talking about opting out of this, run, give us a call. Give your neighbor a call because you'll get better advice. Right? Talk to your postperson, whatever. Like they'll give you better advice.
Oh, man.
Okay. And then, so you're basically stuck. So that was it from like the search side of things. A lot going on overall. And of course, in the demo, Google Googled. They had a factual error in the demo. I just can't believe how incompetent some people are over there. Like, even the naming of the stuff is so terrible. You got like all these different Gemini names and Nano and everything like this. It's like, just make it simple. There's ChatGPT. I don't know what that is. I don't even care about it. It's ChatGPT as this. They're like AI overviews, but they used to be answers. You have SGE and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So the error said they used the kind of search, the lens feature where you can search and see what it is. And it was the Gemini product in this one. And they had a camera and it said, why is the lever not moving all the way on like a film camera, it appears. The answer that they highlighted at Google I.O. is, here are some things that you can try. Gently move the film advance lever back and forth. Great. Press the rewind button firmly if it's disabled. Great. Open the back door and gently remove the film if the camera is jammed, which everybody is saying is literally one of the worst things that you can
do. We're talking like film. Like, you're gonna expose the film? You're
gonna expose everything in your AI, and this is what you're telling people. This is it, and there's no citations to any of this. And that's the issue, is if there was a citation to this, and you clicked on it, it might say, hey, guess what? If you haven't even taken a photo yet and the film is new, maybe you can do this or something. But there's no citations. And this is an example of, to me, not the problem that it's getting it wrong. It might be getting it right, but you cannot tell anything by it because you can't figure out where it stole the information from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I personally just wish there's a way to get back to the old web, the old Google Shop. Oh. Just, that's all I want.
I might have something for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah. From the Google Search Liaison at Search Liaison on Twitter, we've launched a new web filter that shows only text-based links, just like you might filter to show other types of results, such as images or videos. The filter appears on top of the results page alongside other filters as part of the More option rolling out today and tomorrow globally. I'm not surprised that it's hidden behind the More option. Yeah. And there's like a lot of people are asking, like, can I make this the default for my results? But
that'd be nice.
No news on that. And then Danny Sullivan, from his at Danny Sullivan account, added some color, and he said, since I joined Google, I've just been a boy standing in front of the search group asking it to love a web filter. So happy to see it's arrived. Congrats to the hardworking team on this project that through their own efforts made it a reality.
Is that a reference to a film?
I don't know. Like a rom-com? Maybe.
I think it is.
But this couldn't have been like hard to design, right?
No, but you had like, I'm sure it takes a monumental amount of politicking to get somebody
to
do this.
I know, but it's just Google destroying Google. Like, just do things like this to help people. Like,
My point is, if you actually care about people, why not give them other options? Sometimes I'm honestly just looking for CRM software.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for what the AI overview of CRM software is. I know what it is. I'm kind of just looking for results. I'm not looking for videos reviewing different CRM softwares. I kind of just want to see some of the results of CRM software.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is an incredibly helpful thing. And you can tell with that from his personal account that this is important to him and he's proud of it. And yeah. I am too. We see like product sites and location sites and all these weird things that we've talked about. And like, this could be something that could be extremely helpful,
especially on mobile.
Right. And especially with this AI stuff, if you're like, I don't want this, but they have to have it. Good. Give people an option.
Yeah. So do we think there will be ads?
Probably.
Okay.
But
that's fine. I feel, yeah, that's okay.
Again, and I'm just looking for CRM software.
What about forums?
I'll take what I can get.
You think they'd be in there?
I don't think none of those like those rich results or the, like would pull into there, I don't think.
But like, would Reddit?
Would typically rank number whatever for something. I don't think that like forums box would show up.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know for a fact, but that's my guess.
My first thought was, I am so triggered by like rodents. You guys know. Sometimes I'll have to like, I'll just be interested about something. Like, I want to know like what's the lifespan, because I do think about them all the time. The Roman Empire, I hate them. So maybe I'll want to know like the gestation period. Like, I'm thinking of it, but I don't want to see a picture of one. Mm. And it'd be really nice for that.
Actually, at lunch,
no, please.
I was talking to Nicole, who's on the show quite regularly, interested in getting rats. pet rats.
For her home?
Yes, but she was saying you have to get them in pairs of two so they have somebody to play with.
Yeah, they get lonely.
Yeah.
You got to neuter them, though. What is the gestation period?
I don't know.
Quick?
I'm telling you, I didn't look because I didn't have a web filter last week.
Rats.
So upsetting.
Gestation.
I told her to bring them in and we can have office rats.
No! I will not be here.
It's mere weeks. Weeks to a month, depending on the type of rat.
I'm going
to
have a little rat family.
No. Let's move on. What else is happening?
All right. Last up here in the news from social media today, a new report is showing publisher referrals from Facebook have declined by 50% over the last 12 months. That report is from Chartbeat and SimilarWeb. It looked at traffic from Facebook to almost 800 different news and media sites. The report also suggests that this trend is going to continue, basically. There's no slowing down for it, and small sites in particular are being hit the hardest. They've been watching this since about 2018, and traffic, I believe, is down to about a quarter or less than of what it was back then this year. So it's a lot of traffic that Facebook is not driving to other sites. For one, it's no secret that Facebook and really Meta in general, aka Threads, have been trying to steer clear of political content and promote a more positive user experience. So a lot of times the news is not so positive too. So that's one reason. The article also noted that Facebook is no longer looking to focus on user engagement, so like comments and likes, as a driver of content reach, but time spent is now playing a bigger role in dictating what the algorithms show folks. So you're engaging with the content by like viewing it or watching it, staying on Facebook. So people are interacting less and less, and to stay relevant, they want to keep users engaged by entertaining them.
So and that's super. If you look at that small site line in the chart, man, that is brutal.
It just falls right off starting about last year. And it's not just news, right? It's news and media sites. So it sucks for publishers, and I'm very sorry for you. But for marketers out there, if you're smart, there could be some opportunities. The goal is to keep people on Facebook rather than show them a bunch of posts that will send them off the app. So maybe there's more ad inventory opportunities, or you'll be seen. You have your chance to be seen, I guess. And then also your organic posts. Just think about it when you're putting these together. Make them engaging. That's what the algorithm wants. Have content that is going to keep people on Facebook if you want to be successful, really was my takeaway from this. And RIP news, but I think we kind of knew that.
Or I mean, just do whatever you want. I would never in a million years change your business model because you are getting less Facebook traffic. Throw it out.
Oh, don't change your business model. Absolutely not. But I mean, if you're putting out social content.
It's like, I wouldn't be like, hey, guess what? Because I have a recipe site, I'm going to give you my entire life story and three generations of my family history. Here's a recipe because the engagement is longer or something like that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But like, you could show a video of you cooking as part of your
post. That's a good point.
And that would boost engagement. Yeah, so think of it that way. Yeah.
Great point, Jess.
Thanks.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool, hark, it's benchmarks. From WordStream, it is an article highlighting trends and industry insights for Google and Microsoft ads here in 2024. They analyzed over 17,000 campaigns running from April of last year through March of this year, looking at things like CTR, conversion rate, cost per click, and more in general, as well as broken down by industry, which is absolutely wonderful because clients love to ask for benchmarks. And there's even graphics in here that you can pass along. Spoiler alert, CPCs are up.
Spoiler alert, they're gonna keep going up.
The article also provides you actionable tips that you can take back to your own accounts. So bookmark this baby until next year. Again, that's the Google Ads Benchmarks 2024 Insights and Trends from WordStream. As always, we'll have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingaclock.com respectively. So pick your poison and check it out.
And Shep, can we put this in for a clocksker for the worst rhyme of the year for Jess? Hark, it's benchmarks. Hark, it's benchmarks.
I mean, I do this every week. It's really getting hard.
I think we should make that a category.
100%.
I will be honored to accept the award.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from Darcy Burke at Darcy Burke on Twitter. Darcy says, you know what? I don't care what people say. I think Google is really nailing this AI integration with Google Ads. These AI generated images, hashtag chef's kiss. And in the example, he asked, families enjoying high quality satellite TV from the comfort of their cozy home. The example that he got was what appears to be two pumpkins, very dissimilar pumpkins.
I don't like the one pumpkin.
And an apple. And there is a large notch, and it's a very hard table that they're on with what may be a stone background. I wouldn't say this is necessarily cozy.
Definitely a family.
And small vibes.
Afterwards, there's a lot of commentary about that. I said, there go our jobs. Samara Hart at PixSim on Twitter said, aside from the context, this photo is pretty bad. Is that either a giant apple or mini pumpkins?
I didn't even realize.
Which got me thinking. And I don't know. I think it must be a giant apple.
Why? No, I feel like pumpkins come in all shapes and sizes. There's not giant apples like that.
Okay.
I'm more bothered by that other pumpkin.
The long one?
You know the one.
The long, you know, the girthy pumpkin and the non-girthy pumpkin?
The non.
Pumpkin. Those are the best to carve because you can make weird faces. I like those.
Yeah, it's odd. And then I made it was like, I don't know if pumpkin A, I'm assuming the apple's a child.
This is the family. Yeah, for sure.
And I was like,
You're thinking too far into this.
Oh, that's what all I do.
Well, this is what we asked for, though, was a family.
Yeah, it's a family. And I was assuming that the apple's a child and that maybe one of the pumpkins wasn't being completely truthful.
Oh.
But then I'm like, maybe they adopted the apple too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're gorgeous regardless.
Well, if you want more puns like that, check out the thread from Darcy Burke over on Twitter. Thank you, Darcy.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts. Paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, we have a story from the desk of Greg Finn. This is an email he received from Google, and it says, dear partner. They could have said howdy partner.
They would never.
They should.
People don't like having fun anymore.
It's so upsetting. The Google small biz account should be in charge of sending these emails.
Oh my God. It would be just an email full of emojis.
It would be more helpful, I'm sure. And I haven't read this.
This is a really boring email, but it's important. You're receiving this email because you are listed as an admin or legal manager of a Google Ad Manager account. Over the course of 2024, Florida, Texas, Oregon, Montana, and Colorado will have privacy law provisions coming into effect. They will supplement the existing, insert a bunch of terms that probably have acronyms that I don't know for certain states that you can look up if you got this email.
A lot of data protection, a lot of privacy.
Yep. No additional action is required to accept these terms. If you've already agreed to the online data protection terms, publishers can review relevant controls in the help center. And they also said that if you are using restricted data processing at the account level, this account level setting will additionally apply to Florida, Texas, Oregon, and Montana on or after June 15th. You may also see an increase in restricted data processing traffic from those states that I mentioned earlier because of this. And they also said that customers might see increased restricted data processing traffic in Colorado specifically because there's like something special happening there. But if this impacts you, you got to read the email. Next up from Anu for Search Engine Land, she has an article about how Google is rolling out more restrictions for suspended accounts. So you will no longer be able to edit campaigns or create new assets if your account is suspended. The only permitted actions are now going to be billing. So of course you can still pay them.
Shocking.
Some account settings, appeals, thankfully, security settings, and downloading reports. I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're suspended, you can't do anything.
People are making a big deal about it. And it's like, sorry, you're suspended. What do you want to do? Do you want to go change biz?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Next up from Adrian Decker on LinkedIn. He found a new demand gen feature this week. Actually, Thomas Assel and Carolyn De Silva found this and he shared it. Google Ads has rolled out an update that is the ability to select the preferred format for ads in demand gen. So it looks like he's talking about video ads specifically, and he can select whether it's an in-stream, a short, or an in-feed video.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Love it. Next up from X Business on X, coming soon, AI audiences. Briefly describe the target audience for your ads, and our AI system will generate a pool of the most relevant X users to target in seconds. And then they have an example where they're trying to target, quote, users who are leaders in technology, and the AI is going to find that audience. That is so open-ended. Mm-hmm. I don't think that sounds like a good idea. And then they're trying to act like it's similar to the Google Audience Builder that I talked about a couple weeks ago. But that one, people were like putting in information about their product. And my thought at the time was that it was going to like recommend in market segments and stuff.
Yeah, I would love that.
But maybe I'm wrong on that. I thought it was going to recommend and you could approve. But this just seems like you're putting stuff in and letting X do whatever it wants.
And it's targeting those specific users. It'd be really nice if it was like, here's the criteria I think you should use.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful.
Can I go against the grain on this?
You like it?
Love it.
You didn't like the Google one.
The Google what?
The Google has something similar and you didn't like it, I thought.
Lookalikes?
No. They had, you could use AI to build your audience. Like you put in.
But to me with Twitter, I'm still Twitter, whatever. I feel like if you are a leader in technology, you don't say in your bio, I am a technology leader. I don't think you post all the time about technology specific. Like, you don't use the word technology. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Grok is okay. I don't use it personally. But if you can go out there and try to put something in and have the AI come up with that audience, like, it could be really powerful. I don't know if it's going to work.
But like, what product would this be that you would use such a vague prompt?
I don't think that's a good one.
Yeah.
But let's say it's more like, hey, guess what? You are somebody that is let me think of somebody who might be on X here quick.
Well, you PPC chat, yeah. Like people who are.
Let's say it's somebody that is, let's say we're advertising for the show and we want people that are leaders or people that are practitioners in Google Ads. That could be interesting. Yeah. I don't know how you target that. You could try PPC chat. Maybe they're on it. Maybe they're not. But if you could do something like that and say, hey, they talk about Google Ads a bit, or the images they share are from the platform. I don't know. It could be good. I don't know if it's going to be. It probably will suck.
I know.
But I like the thought of it because it's not keyword specific. And a lot of the targeting options you have on X aren't perfect. It's like people that might also follow this. But if you can say, this person is talking about this, you can get in front of the right audience, hopefully. Yeah,
whatever targeting they're doing now is terrible, so I guess it can't be worse because I get some weird stuff.
The other thing is, like, they are desperate for advertisers and money, and I think they're going to try to make things to make him money because he doesn't – that's the best thing about Twitter right now is they need to make money. It's not a publicly traded company, right? They need to figure it out, so I don't know. It's probably worth testing if you're on – if you've got extra budget laying around.
Yeah. Let us know if you try it, people. Next up from Anthony Hingman on LinkedIn. He said he just got access to the Google Ads Cross-Media Reach Report. The report allows you to see and compare reach and frequency metrics for digital video campaigns in Google Ads and also for digital video and traditional TV combined. Anthony used a lot of exclamation points, so it's Anthony approved.
Hingman.
Reddit has a new VP of their ads product announced this week. They named Joydy Vaidi as the first VP of the ads product, and this is a newly created role overseeing the platform's monetization engine. That's not a sign that Reddit ads are where it's at. I don't know what it is. This person was most recently a product lead for Google's display ads business.
Dun, dun, dun.
Interesting. So we'll see if anything happens there. And if you need something else, Pinterest has a new media buyer certification course. So pick your poison and check it out.
Rejoice also, and then cease and desist, please.
What's happening in organic?
This week's show is brought to you by Wix. Wix.com, Wix.com, Wix.com. And Barry Schwartz and a few Wixers. Do you think that's the name of Wix? Wixers?
We'll have to ask them.
Wixanistas?
I like it.
Okay. Wixers. Morty Oberstein and Crystal Carter some of the best people in the business and the nicest people. Would you agree?
Totally.
Like, there's just BFFs the minute you meet them. Mm-hmm. Have a show called It's New, and I'm on it also. So if you like the show, there's a dusting of that over on It's New. It's every day, Monday through Thursday, and we cover anything to do with search marketing. Any information you need, and it's not long form, which I think people enjoy. There are many people that like the banter and the back and forth of something like this show or SERPs Up, their other podcast, but It's New features their insight in from doing the show. Those two are so bright and so smart.
Crystal and Morty.
Crystal and Morty. And Barry. Obviously. Everybody knows Barry.
Yeah.
And it's just an honor to be alongside of them. And you can really tell that Wix cares. They care about the product. You talked about it earlier. Yeah. All the cool reporting and how to do things and how to automate reports. It's like amazing. But if you want a 15-minute show every day,
just except for the day our show comes out.
Except for Fridays. Fridays, you can stay here or go over to the search recap over with Barry on Rusty Brick. But it's just a quick information about search engine marketing specifically, or search engines specifically, and every day, Monday through Thursday. It's New, featuring some of the brightest in the industry. So if you want to check out It's New, head on over to wix.com/SEO/learn. wix.com/SEO/learn. That's wix.com/SEO/learn. And you can get It's New every day. All right. And on to the organic news this week from Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on Twitter. He said, okay, I love that Google informs us about broad core updates rolling out, but why not also explain when huge changes roll out that seem like an extension of the broad core update? I mean, it's cool that Google can decouple algorithms from broad core updates and run them separately. Basically, he just wants to know because there was a big drop that we've talked about in the past that came out that was almost core update-y, it appears. To which Danny Sullivan on his @SearchLiaison Twitter handle said that this is covered in our long-standing page about core updates. And he said, we're constantly making updates to our search algorithms. And then this is funny. It's just Danny being Danny, in my opinion. I love the fact he can still do it as the search liaison on Google. He says, we have a lot of different core and other ranking systems. They're regularly being updated. They're also processing new information because the web itself is constantly changing. If we were giving notice about all the ranking system updates we do, it would be like this. Hi, it's 1:14 p.m. We just did an update to system 112. Hi, it's 2:26 p.m. We just did an update to system 34. Hi, it's 5:02 p.m. We just did an update to system 76.
Yeah.
Like,
this seems like a big update.
Hi. Yeah. I don't know if they have like predictive impact or something like that, but if they do, it would be nice to know. I don't know. And then we talked about, on It's New, which we just talked about, where Barry was saying that Google does know every single algo update that impacted a site. And that would be nice to know. And I believe that was on the show from 5:14, the Google I/O date. But I would love what we talked about on It's New, where you could see exactly what hit you. But mm-hmm. I understand. But bigger ones, I mean, if it's big, to your point, a lot of people know what's happening. Okay. Also from Search Engine Roundtable and Barry Schwartz from It's New, said Google lifts some site reputation abuse policy penalties. And apparently there are a few that kind of slipped through the cracks and didn't get hit by manual action and probably should have. And Glenn and Barry shows some information from Glenn, who is the go-to resource on anything algo update related. And he said, quick update, some manual actions have already been lifted. Those sites handle their coupons, subdomains, or directory via no indexing or nuking of the content there. They'd initially gotten hit, but they made a response, I guess. I know there was some of those forms that you could say if it was incorrect, and they were hit and then recovered from it. So cool. And that's it in organic because we did it all in the main news. So I am tired. What do you have in social, bud?
All right, it's a meta-heavy week, so strap in or buckle up if you want to carry on the organic theme. First, Meta confirmed that it is testing a new option that will enable Instagram users to cross-post their updates to Threads.
Why?
Heck if I know. And apparently when you do so, the caption becomes the text and hashtags are converted into plain text on Threads. So it really just seems useless. Why even have different apps if you're going to put the same content on them anyway? And then like it doesn't make heckify sense. It. Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
It really does.
What are we doing?
We shouldn't be.
This is how desperate Threads must be.
But like, it's not going to make it better.
It makes sense to take something from Instagram to Facebook.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. When is the time it's not?
Well, I guess you could just share a photo. I don't know. I feel like Facebook is more about conversation and Instagram is visual. But
do
there's
you
definitely
use either of them?
Not anymore. No.
Okay. And you are a social reporter?
Yes.
Okay.
I almost always cross post now from Instagram to Facebook.
I do too.
Because all of my I'm like in my mom era. So like all my updates are like about my kids and I want like my old next door neighbor from elementary school to see it. You know?
That's fair.
But back in the days when I was like dancing on tables, that wouldn't have gone to Facebook, you know?
Because mom sees that.
You have dancing on table footage on your Instagram?
Back in the day.
Is it still there?
Probably.
Tables. Let's grab that clip.
I don't think that Tables wants to spend the day scrolling back 5 years.
You're dancing on them? What else is he supposed to do?
Oh, here's some more garbage. Instagram is apparently developing a new option called Peek. I really do not like that. It's peek as in like to peek at something. It will enable users to share a quick, unedited, unfiltered snap of themselves and their life. You can't edit it or refine it. Once somebody sees it, it goes away. So.
This is Be Real?
They're like resurrecting, yep, essentially.
Okay.
But which went away for like a reason. Nobody uses it anymore, right?
Julia on a trip just Be Real'd something, didn't
what?
She?
Well, because I asked her about it. I was like, do people Be Real anymore? And she was like, not really. I'll do it right now.
She did it. I watched her at a train station.
She Be Real.
At Woodside.
Love that. Love that for you guys. Anyway, you might be able to do it on Instagram.
Right?
You're working
on Woodside. It. It is my least favorite train station in the world.
Have you been to it before?
Yes. I told you. They just put wooden boards up that are non-pressure treated to try to fix how disgusting it is.
Well, that's the side of the wood.
Good point. But you can still use pressure treated because you're outdoors.
It costs more money.
Not in the long run.
I was just trying to like not look at my surroundings. It was a dark place.
Something dripped on you.
Oh, no. You got dripped on at a train station? Yeah. Did it smell like vomit?
Oh, Jess, you're making it worse.
I think it was urine, to be fair.
You're making it worse.
That's even worse.
What didn't rain the entire day? What do you think it was?
Did you smell it? If you had like a coat on or something, go smell it. I had to wash a jacket and my entire life because I got dripped on once. It was like that cheese vomit smell, like when you spray that stupid stuff around here, Greg. It's an awful smell. Yeah. Smell your stuff.
I don't think they're very hydrated either, to be fair.
Trains?
No,
rats?
The person whose urine it was.
Please,
was someone above? Was there a rain?
Let's go to the next one.
All right.
It was like rainwater.
When did it rain? There was not a drop of rain. No.
I try to live in a happy world.
The world's not happy, Shep.
No.
We covered this last week.
Remember, this is a depressing show now? Glenn Gabe, though, has some positivity. He tweeted on Twitter, wait, maybe there's something to this notes thing. Instagram tests notes on feed posts and reels. So apparently now you can add a note to a reel or a post, and then it's just a great way to promote interaction. Glenn actually likes it. The kids like it, I guess. They're loving notes. They're using it. Instagram's trying
Isn't
to appeal to their audience.
Isn't that just a comment on a reel? Wouldn't that be a comment?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do, a note
this goes,
or a comment?
But this goes into your – I believe it goes into your DMs, though. Instead of just a comment under the, I don't know the difference.
Great.
The kids love it though, so they're leaning into it. I say give them what they want, unless it's long form content, because apparently Instagram is saying that, and Adam Mosseri said it, that reels that are longer than 90 seconds can actually hurt your distribution. He said that at a creator event this week in New York City. A couple other things that he said that can hurt are engagement bait, videos with third-party watermarks, low-quality videos, and posting content you didn't make. Things that can help driving authentic engagement. Tell me how to do that. Consider where your audience is online, or consider when your audience is online. upload at the highest resolution and post content at the same time as other platforms. I feel like those nuggets need more context, and maybe he gave them when he was talking out loud. But anyway, don't post long reels. I guess it can actually hurt you.
Do what you want to do is what Greg Finn says.
I would agree with that. Adam also, Mr. Masseri, teased a new creator revenue program called Spring Bonus, but you have to be invited to it, and it's only in certain geographic regions. So kudos to you if you're on that list. Broader update here. Good news. More regions are getting access to the Instagram creator marketplace. They are expanding that into 10 new markets, including South Korea, Germany, the Netherlands, France, and more. So congrats to you all. The last Meta update here, RIP in peace to Workplace, which I had totally forgot about, but they are officially shutting down that enterprise communication platform. And I guess over the next 2 years, so it's going to be a long sunset, they're going to provide customers with an option to transition over to Zoom's product.
In the history of the world, which has gone on for a long time.
Very long time, yeah.
This might have been the dumbest idea ever. Do you think people are going to use their Facebook accounts for work back when Facebook was alive? Who would do that?
But we have to use our Facebook accounts, our personal Facebook accounts for work to run ads. They could have fixed that. They could have made that something. Anyway, go in the way of the buffalo or whatever that phrase is. On TikTok for a quick talk second, couple updates. They are implementing additional generative AI transparency measures. There's going to be new labels on content that's been modified by AI. And they're also working to develop AI media literacy campaigns to help users understand and identify AI content. Last up, TikTok is testing a collaboration feature for posts. It's similar to what is on Instagram. Users will be able to tag other collaborators in a post, which then links to their profiles. Peeks at the code, it's not live yet, suggests that you'll be able to invite up to 5 other creators to make a post. Users will be able to remove themselves as collaborators if they don't want to be on there. And it also sounds like you're going to be limited to the amount you can do, only 4 times a month. Which seems silly.
Are people trying to collab with you on TikTok?
No.
You're like a momfluencer.
No.
Swiftfluencer?
I'm a Swifty mom, but I'm not influencing anyone. Okay. Just dancing.
Dancing on tables and sharing it with grandma.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise.
For me this week, you know, we don't like Google Meet here, but they're making a little improvements. I shared one a couple weeks ago. This week, I noticed when you're sharing your screen, you can have annotations, like you could like circle something on the screen.
You can?
Yep.
That's cool.
And when you make the mistake of going back to the tab with the meeting in it and you're sharing your screen, it gives you a little warning about the infinity mirror.
Thank goodness, because I am so sick. Yeah. I see myself like 50 million times. It's awful.
They should just automatically like stop the share when you switch back. But yeah, that would be better.
That would be nice. Hardly working for me. We use ClickUp as our project management software around here, and it is so slow. I have had to write things down and like actually remember what it is I need to do because I cannot work in the platform. I don't know what's going on. We got an update. It's supposed to be better. No one can use it. It's very slow. We're all very sad. So I'm just complaining.
Okay, so this week, working hard for me. I'm going to steal your thunder from a few weeks back.
Oh, geez.
But being able to go, we had a client meeting, and I believe that it was enlightening. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
It was so positive overall. We got so much more information than you ever could via Zoom, and got to sit in on meetings with like CEOs of publicly traded companies and things like that. And it was, you really see what matters to them. And if you don't have that experience, you are guessing on a lot of stuff. And for me, it was great talking with the people we stare at for hours every week, but just being able to get extra context was so big, so important, so critical. So it's one of those things everybody's like, oh, you can always just never meet people. You can work from, you need to go out and do that. So I just wanted to say that is working hard for me this week. And thank you for coming out. I think you got up. What time did you get up?
I didn't really sleep. My flight was at 5:30. So I set my alarm for 3:00.
Okay, and what time did you get home?
I was in my bed at 1 a.m., showered.
That's tough.
That is.
That's a trooper.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. You did the smiling same today.
Yeah, it's been a couple days now.
It doesn't matter. I wouldn't be able to recover that fast.
Yeah, but there's a lot of value in being in person.
I agree.
Now it's time for this week's I See Why Am I.
I See Why Am I, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
I See Why Am I, people. Google shared a little video from Google I.O. of the new search in the Gemini era, they're calling it. And it has an overview of those AI overview cards and how the SERPs are going to look now. And some PPC people are in the comments. Melissa Mackey said, "This is a horrible move for content creators. Google is just aggregating everyone's content and presenting it as their own." And then Julie Pacini said, "Yes, and I'm going to say this again. Are they giving up on display advertising because the sites they are taking content and therefore traffic from all run AdSense?" I did think that was an interesting point.
I agree.
And then Sam Tomlinson at Digital Sam I Am added his 2 cents. He thinks it actually makes display more valuable because the only sites that will get traffic are the ones that are large enough and credible enough to demand it. The garbage blogs and apps will die. The great ones will thrive. Display's content quality problem gets less bad while Google gets a larger share of wallet.
He's so smart. He's the smartest person. That's Sam.
Very interesting. I think CPCs are going up anyway.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Power Listener, I believe. I think she's a CrossFitter. Sophie Logan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She has an article over on Search Engine Land saying, "Google RSAs in 2024, everything you need to know." And Sophie goes through saying why 3 headlines and 2 descriptions is a thing of the past. Talks about ad strength, something I'm not allowed to talk about anymore. Whether to pin or not to pin, campaign level RSA assets, asset combination and performance report, and the latest updates and best practices. So if you want a quick refresher on RSAs and what she's seeing, I would highly recommend it over on searchengineland.com. Thank you, Sophie.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingandclock.com to listen to marketing and playlists. Jess Bub, what will you be adding this week?
I'm going with Extreme Ways by Moby.
Interesting choice. Never heard of it. Surprise. I will be adding Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? From Taylor Swift.
Oh!
There's the meme where it's like, what is actually on someone's mind, you know? It's like the drawing of the face, and then it's like in the brain. And mine is just constantly Taylor Swift on that little Roomba stage singing Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? And screaming Female Rage the Musical. It's just so inspiring.
I thought rat gestational periods was always on your mind.
No. Only at dark times.
Okay. Greg? Speaking of dark times, my song is from The Midnight, and it's called Change Your Heart or Die.
Oh, wow. All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
Today we are back with everybody's favorite game. It's two types of people where we give two alternatives and you have to be one type or the other type. There's no gray area.
No in between.
And I have a theme to mine this week.
Me too.
So I think we have the same theme because Greg and I went on a little biz trip this week.
Yeah, did a little business.
I'm way off plan. I don't have a theme. That's okay. Go ahead.
So my first one, these are related to travel. If you are going on a trip to somewhere of a different climate, do you dress for your destination at the airport or do you dress for where you're embarking from?
Typically, I dress where I'm embarking from, but enough to be a little bit uncomfortable, like a little bit cold or a little bit hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I apply layers. Like if I'm going somewhere
two kinds
warm.
Of, didn't you hear the
But I cut not two kinds of people because I'm a third kind of person. I would like bring a jacket to put on when I get there or like be ready to take mine off when I get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're ruining the game.
You also said but, Greg.
No, I said the place where I'm departing from.
Okay.
What was your answer?
Well, if I have to pick one of those two, I'm probably more prone to dress for the place that I'm going.
Mm. I dress for battle.
This so you're is, a third kind of person same thing too? She just did.
I know, but I'm
you don't
either,
know how this game
I
works.
I dress
Chef.
Like I'm doing like a triathlon. Like I'm always going to be in leggings and a lightweight sweatshirt no matter what.
Okay.
But I think it is truly crazy. The people from Buffalo, New York who are in the winter going to like Disney World or whatever and they show up to the airport in shorts. Like relax. Like, that's a bit. Or like people wear like sun hats.
Get but the snow out of their eyes.
For this most recent trip, we were going like straight to the client. So I had to like be in my biz attire on the plane. I was wearing a dress and I like really did not like, I don't think I have ever had my bare skin touch the airport seat like that. Like my legs were touching. Ooh. I did not like it.
Okay, I am actually going to make a modification in one of mine because of that.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go right into it then.
Okay.
Two kinds of people. You're going to an airport. Do you wear, you have to take your shoes or your footwear off. Do you wear something that has socks or no socks?
Okay, so again, you're doing this because you were horrified by what I wore.
No, I was just astounded that you don't like touching subway rails.
I don't, but I was there. And we were going straight to the client. I had my flats on. Mm. I didn't think about it until we were there. But I have to say, it was nice that I wasn't like worrying about tying my shoes at the end. I wore flats with no socks, so I was barefoot.
Yeah. I wear socks, but I wear like easy to remove shoes. Even if we're going to see a client, I'll just do like zip boots or something.
No,
like that.
I'll touch any handrail anytime, no problem. I'd rather die. I have my feet touch the airport. That's what,
yeah,
floor.
I don't like the barefoot.
I didn't like it, but I had to make a lot of sacrifices that day. No, I'd rather touch my feet. At least I'm not like eating with my feet.
That's good enough.
So I'd rather. Okay, Jess, what's your next?
All right, well, this was not on my list, but since we're talking airports, there are two kinds of people. There are people that once they get to the airport, they go right to their gate and they stay there and that's it. Maybe go to the bathroom, but until their flight, they hang out by the gate just in case anything happens. And then there's people that will just go explore and whatever and not be anywhere near until it's time to board.
This is kind of related to mine, so I'm going to skip kind of my next one and work it into my answer.
Fair enough. What are you?
I am nowhere near that place. I want nothing to do with that. I just get aggravated when I see people lining up. And it's like, you are 20 minutes before boarding starts. Why is there a line?
And
then the line aggravates me so much because the line, half the people are in like, yeah, not even. They're like group Z, right? They're never going to board. And they're just standing in the way. And it just drives me crazy. So I just get out of there. I can't take that.
Yeah.
I was group F, and I told Julia it was for F you. It was the very last. Okay, so I think there's two types of people. I need to go see that my gate exists. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to see it. I need to see the name of the city on the board. And I didn't know that was, like, an everyone thing. And then I'll go somewhere else. But I have to walk there first.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. I do like to know where it is, so for proximity reasons.
Yes. Yeah. Establish the home base and then go wander, have a snack, take a walk.
I'm okay.
With y'all.
What's your next one?
So we're doing – what? That was that yours?
I kind of – yeah.
Okay.
Mine was I need to see that the gate exists.
Okay. So I am going to go with if you have seats on a plane and if you do not have like a carry-on you have to stow above, like in a bin or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. Do you board at the boarding time or do you not board at the boarding time?
Okay. I board at the boarding time, but I have learned they let families board early and it's like, why? Because if you're with little kids, you want to be the very last person on the plane.
Yeah.
Except, yeah, I don't want to stay there. And if you don't have something you have to put overhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually pick the window seat, so I'm fine boarding early or on time.
Okay. Yeah.
I board at the designated time just because then I have instructions to follow, but I don't get stressed over it. I could see why you would want to wait.
I wait. I'll go on the very last second. I have a seat. I don't have anything to store. Why do I want to sit on a plane on the runway? Like, why is every, like, I see people lining up and they have like a little, just like a little briefcase mm-hmm. and they're rushing down a plane. It's like, what are you, why do you want to be on there? And then I saw they're not even boarding for, I could see first class. They're like, let me get in there. Let me get a drink or whatever. I don't understand. I do. It makes zero sense to me. Everybody hates being on the runway. Yeah. Everybody hates being on planes. Why are you trying to get on there as fast as you can? Nope. You have an assigned seat.
Right.
You don't have anything to store.
It's going
to
be there. I know. I know. But I feel like some people just kind of like how you want to see the gate. They're like, I just want to be in my seat. I don't know.
But you have to like wait in traffic to even get on the plane. I don't understand it.
Especially families with small kids.
It makes no sense.
The designated boarding time, except for Southwest, where it's pick your own seat, should be after everyone else is on the plane. You don't want to be sitting on that plane with little kids. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll stick with the airport theme. People movers. There's folks that walk on them and there's folks that ride them.
We ran into that.
And there's people that stand in the middle so that the walkers can't pass.
See, that's ridiculous.
And those people
that's
deserve
not
prison.
Acceptable. They are wide enough for two lanes of
there's
traffic.
There's a person in the middle with two gigantic bags of luggage on either side.
No, you go vertical. You go sideways. So that's not okay. Oh, that is not a kind of person that should exist.
I asked them to move.
Good, correct? You should.
Yeah.
And they moved.
Good.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a walker.
Did they make a face at you, though?
No.
Like,
no.
How dare you?
It's like, okay, what are you doing? Have you never walked on this earth before? What's going
taking
on?
Taking up all the space.
If they should put, like, a handle thing on the side that you could put your bag on, though.
That would be nice.
And then I would
it's
stand
just,
still.
Like, rolls with you?
Yeah.
No, but then you walk, you're going to outpace it.
I would wait for that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That fancy Detroit airport has like designated lanes on the people mover. It says like walk on this side.
In the disco tunnel? Like,
yeah, I didn't see that.
You didn't?
No.
There's a Motown tunnel at the Detroit airport. It is the best place.
You told me all about it. In America. I did not see it in my travels.
I go through more than once. Yeah. I go back. I
mean, well, you might as well then because you're not going to stay at the gate.
Is it better than the Rainbow Tunnel in Chicago?
It looks like a rainbow. We're not talking about the same thing. No, it's definitely Detroit, the thing I'm thinking of, because it's Motown.
Chicago. I think that's a rainbow. People, let us know. Let us know in the comments. Sound off in the comments.
Okay, my last one.
This can be the last one overall.
Okay. It's not a great one to end on. I don't – the safes in hotel rooms, I would never use that.
Ooh.
I used it in Brighton SEO San Diego.
For what, a computer?
I was given something that I do you remember? I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Some things that you wouldn't bring back.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'd use it just to like see.
Yeah.
I just, those safes are like, you could break it with like a spatula. They're not like good safes.
I get the point. And like, nobody has a key to your room except for housekeeping.
I'm not traveling with anything that valuable.
Nothing I have is worth more than $5. I just don't understand the point.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I want to put it like over the front door of my house or my car.
No, I do not use the safes.
Yeah.
Unless it is a wild incident that happens.
Do you use like the dresser drawers?
Either? I do. I'm a big dresser drawer guy. I switch when I hit like 35. I put it all in there. It feels good. I don't like to come back to a disgusting, messy room.
I do for a long trip. No way. If it's like one night, I would not.
Brighton? Mm-hmm. Right into the drawers. It was awesome.
You got to pack and unpack a second time.
It's better than having to go through and open your suitcase all the time. It's just, it's there.
To each their own, two kinds of people.
Well, let us know what kind you are. Keep that in. And we'll see you next week. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.